Well, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but has anyone here ever felt on the outs or on the outskirts? I think probably every single one of us at some point in our lives has felt like a foreigner, has felt like they don't belong. Maybe it was, you know, when you were in the playground growing up. Or maybe it's, you know, when family gathers or when family doesn't gather. You know, there are numerous times throughout our lives when probably each and every one of us has felt like an outsider. And in 1 Peter, reading from 1 Peter today, the people that Peter is writing to were people that were struggling with feeling like outsiders. So I'm going to go ahead and read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. The people that Peter was writing to in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter were people that had not, as you might say, grown up in the church. They were not Jews. They were people that had come from all different walks of life, but they had made a decision to follow Jesus. And that decision had welcomed them into a family, but it had also put them on the outs with those around them. They were people that struggled day in and day out with this sense and this feeling that they didn't quite fit in, that they didn't quite belong. For some of them, this feeling that they didn't fit in, they didn't quite belong. In this, you need to give me a different mic, it's okay. That they just didn't fit in or belong in this place that they had once fit into. And, okay, we'll just wait. Can you guys hear me okay? Hopefully this will be better. All right. So some of them had grown up worshiping other gods. They'd gone to temples to worship various goddesses. And in that culture, that was what it meant to be religious. That was what it meant to believe in the gods, to be a believer, was to worship all of these different gods and all of these different goddesses. But when they became a part of the church, their allegiance changed. Their allegiance changed to one. Their allegiance changed to Jesus. And so they no longer went to these various temples. They no longer participated in offering sacrifices to various gods. And that put them on the outs of some, for some of them, of their families, of society. You know, you can imagine they probably felt like aliens in their own land. And some of them were really struggling with this idea of, who am I? Anybody ever struggled with the idea of, who am I? You're struggling with this idea of, who am I? So Peter's writing to them, and he uses lots of different language to describe who they are. Later on in this same chapter, passage that Pastor Stephen preached last week, yeah, that's intentional. But, you know, they were referred to as aliens, as foreigners. And that's part of who they are, part of who they were. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, here at the very at the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 2, Paul's writing to, or Peter's writing to them. And I don't know if any of you have ever watched the show on PBS. It's called Finding Your Roots. Have you guys ever watched that? It's kind of a fun show. But it's all about, it's usually celebrities that come on. And Henry Louis Gates, who's a really, he's really great at what he does. But he paints this picture as he interviews, usually celebrities that are on there. And they're trying to discover, you know, where did I come from? Who am I? What are my roots? And they have these various celebrities on, and then they hire these professionals to go and research the background of these various celebrities to find out, you know, where they came from. Well, one episode fairly recently, Henry Louis Gates had on three people who were not celebrities. They're just ordinary people. And, you know, as the experts researched their family and researched their lineage and researched their background, one of them in particular had a question that she'd lived with all of her life. She'd lived with this question of, am I really my father's daughter? She had no evidence to suggest that she wasn't, other than the fact that many, many years ago, when she was still a child, her father had made a comment to her that was kind of an offhanded comment, but yet it was one that impacted her deeply. And it was a comment that suggested that she was not really his daughter. So she lived with this sense, this question all of her life. Am I really my father's daughter? Well, they did the research, and Henry Louis Gates, he sits across from the people that he's interviewing and that he's doing his program with, that he's researching. And they have this kind of like this portfolio in front of them, scrapbook in front of them, and he says, you know, turn the page. And she knows when she turns the page, she's going to find out whether or not she is really her father's daughter. And she turns the page, fully expecting to discover that she is not her father's daughter. When she turns the page, she discovers that she is, in fact, her father's daughter. And that her sister, who she'd always assumed without a doubt was her father's daughter, was not, in fact, her father's daughter. Just this weird turn of events. And all of a sudden, she finds herself in this place where this question that she's lived with all her life has been answered. You know, every single one of us, we might ask the question, who's my father? Who's my mother? You know, who am I? Where do I belong? Who's my family? You know, these are deep questions. Some of us know the answers to those questions. And there's some of us that perhaps don't. They're deep, deep questions. we might ask the question spiritually. Who's my father? Who's my mother? Who am I? Where do I belong? Where do I fit into the story? In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter is writing to the people, and these people that were formerly Gentiles, not God's people, not God's chosen people. And he's writing to them and he's saying, you know what? Guess what? You who were once not God's people are indeed God's people. You who once were not shown mercy have been shown mercy. It's a story that goes back all the way to the Old Testament, when Hosea, an Old Testament prophet, is given a special assignment. He's given an assignment to go and to marry a prostitute, a woman that he knows has been unfaithful and he knows will be unfaithful to him. But God, for whatever reason, tells him to go and marry this woman. Well, Hosea's obedient. He goes and he marries this woman. And the woman becomes pregnant and has a child. He names him Jezreel. It's kind of a lesson for what's coming for the nation of Israel, for the battle that's coming, the battle that they will lose. The woman gives birth to another child, a girl. And God tells Hosea to name her not shown mercy, not shown love. His wife gives birth to another child. Doesn't really know if this is his child or not. You kind of get the picture, you kind of get the story. We don't know if any of them were his children. And God tells him to name this child Lo Amni, not my people. In other words, not my son. Doesn't belong. Not a part of me. It's an object lesson again. As if God is saying to the people of Israel, you are not my people. So Hosea is obedient, names him Lo Amni. Can you hear the pain? There's a lot of pain here. You know, not my beloved one, not one who has not been shown mercy, not my people. Later on in Hosea, and as we read in 1 Peter, it says this. Listen to this, which God says. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. There's a sense in which that which was not. These people had not received mercy. They've now received mercy. These people who it once was said of them, they're not my people, now are God's people. And their identity is found in God and belonging to God. There's several images here in 1 Peter that Peter shares with us. He says, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, he says to the people he's writing, the Christians he's writing to, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's as if he's saying, as you come to Jesus, who's like a cornerstone. You guys know what a cornerstone is? It's that stone that they put at the corner of the building to line everything else up with it. You know, it's 90-degree angles, and the whole building, the whole structure of the building is dependent on that cornerstone being placed correctly. And Jesus, Peter says, is a living stone. It's like he's the cornerstone. He says, you, those people he's preaching to, those people he's writing to, you are like living stones. And you're being placed on top of and lined up with Jesus, the cornerstone. And you're being built into a living house. You're being made into a priesthood for a purpose. You're being made into a priesthood. You're being made into a house for the purpose of worship, for the purpose of worshiping God. You ever wondered who you were and what your purpose was? We're made to worship. We're made to worship God. Now, when we think about that, you know, that seems like a lot of responsibility. How do we worship God? And yet, first Peter says something significant here. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And he says, up further, he says in verse 5, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We don't worship on our own. We worship through Jesus Christ. We worship as we are a part of his house, as we are a part of his living building, as we are joined to each other. That's how we worship. It's not that we set about and worship God on our own, but we worship God as we are built on Christ. Christ is the foundation, as we are connected to him. In John, Jesus shares another image, an image of a vine and branches. He talks about, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. We worship God as we abide in Jesus. We worship God the Father as we are a part of this living building that is being built up. You ever wondered who you were? You ever wondered what your purpose was? We're called to be a family, to be a living building, living stones, with Jesus as the cornerstone. We're called to be connected to the branch, connected to Jesus, and that we would worship out of that connectedness, that we would worship God through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would worship God as we remain in Jesus, as Jesus is in us, and as we are in Jesus, that we would worship God. Let's pray.